If you are talking about it, he's talking about it. And if he's talking about it, it's worth talking about. Richard Dixon on Birmingham's Real Talk. Talk 99.5.
Hello, hello, hello. Tis I, Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. Joe Biden has revoked the Keystone Pipeline permit, destroying 11,000 jobs and about $2 billion in wages. That's right. He couldn't even get through day one without killing jobs for middle-class Americans. It's a classic Democrat move. Good stuff, Joe. Well done. I think there's going to be a lot of people who voted for Joe Biden who in about 18 months are going to be going, what the hell? What happened? What? We were so eager to get rid of Orange Man, we didn't really understand what we were doing. Yeah, pretty sad. I am Richard Dixon. This is Talk 99.5 and talk99.5.com, portions of which are brought to you by BYOP in Roebuck. They're across the street from Walmart. They're the place to get your car fixed if you don't feel like spending an arm and a leg but still getting a great job done. That's what they do. They are so very, very good. Fast. And they actually charge less, which I think is awesome. They charge less for their labor rate, which means that you save a bunch of money and you save even more on the part because you buy it yourself. That's what BYOP means. Bring your own parts. You buy the part. You bring the part. They put the part on. The work is guaranteed. It's tough to beat. And once you've used it, you're never going to go anywhere else ever again because the price is right. And the service is incredible. BYOP Bama, you can find them. Just Google them online, BYOP, if you like. Or stop by there at Roebuck across the street from Walmart. Okay? Let's go to the Birmingham Broker Hotline where our buddy Mark Spud Friedman is hanging out. What's going on, Spudley?
Welcome to Lawyer Day on the Richard Dixon Show.
Well, we had a real lawyer on, and now we got you. So it's, you know, it's
we're having
it's
a cool. Bad connection here, Rich. Bad connection. I'm going to cough through the phone on you.
That'll teach me. I think I've already got whatever it is you think you're going to give me, so don't worry about it.
Yeah. I just don't want to catch it.
I don't want you to have it either. Well, I think the ship has sailed on that. I'm just going to have to hunker down and deal with it. I haven't yet canceled. I was going to take a trip, not this coming weekend, but the next. And I haven't canceled it yet. Have not canceled it yet. Hoping, beyond hope, that just maybe it's not happening. But I know in my heart that I have it. It's every symptom that that they tell you it's going to be. And I'm going through it, man. And they tell me it's only going to get worse from here. So hanging on for dear life, baby. Hanging on for dear life.
Your story reminded me of two things. The first is, you remember when we used to own component stereos?
Oh, yeah.
Where you had your deck, and then your amplifier, and then you had your reel-to-reel if you had that, and your turntable if you had that, and your subwoofer and woofers and everything all over the house. And then something would go wrong with it, and you would take it to the stereo repair place.
Right.
And you'd take it there, and you take it to him and say, "Charlie, this thing is not working right. I'm pretty sure it's the turntable." So you bring the turntable in, and he says, "Well, let's take a look." So he takes the turntable, sets it down, plugs it into his stuff, works perfectly.
Uh huh.
No, I think this is working fine. So you take it back home, exactly the same problem. That's what happened to you at the doctor yesterday. You were perfectly well until you went to the doctor, and the doctor said everything checks out. Then on the way home, you got the Rona.
it was just a checkup. You know, I go every 6 months. I'm at that age where it's a good idea. Everything was good. My heart rate was good. My blood pressure was good. My weight is in zone. You know, I'm about as healthy as I've ever been in my entire life, probably healthier than I've been in my entire life, except for the fact that I think I've got the Rona. And it didn't really come on until later. I started getting chills, and I started going, I'm usually kind of cold, but I'm really cold right now. And I finally broke out the thermometer and checked, and it came up at 101. 101.1. I was like, well, that's just a bad radio station.
That's
what
that
is. No, I've never worked there. Never happened. Stop spreading lies. Stop spreading lies.
the The other thing that reminded me of that, so I went and looked at my own cholesterol numbers because I'm used to using the two numbers. You used them combined to show 123.
Yeah.
So I had I got mine out from my last checkup, which was November, and I had a HDL of 48 and a LDL of 77. It adds up to 125. So we're similar on that and both in the good range. But it reminded me of a story of Sarah. She was so funny without trying to be funny. You know, I try to be funny, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And she said things, and I was with her when I was intensely on the Atkins diet. And
yeah.
I'm eating meat plates and everything else and eggs and everything else. And somebody who was with us at dinner said, "Do you have a cholesterol problem?" And I said, "No, I take Lipitor." And Sarah said to this person, "What he means is, yes, I take Lipitor." And she, of course, she was right. The editor
yes.
in her came out. Of course, she was like, "Yes, I have a cholesterol problem. I take Lipitor," and that's how these numbers are like this.
That's why I take Lipitor. I'm on something similar. It's Crestol or something like that. I don't remember what it's called.
Yeah, that's a competing product. Another one of those deals where they got to try everything to find the one that works for you.
But my good and bad cholesterol are in equal amounts. She said, this is a rarity. We don't usually run across them being exactly equal. So out of 123, what, you know, 61 and a half for each, I guess. I don't know how that works, but
that's
yeah.
pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know if that's what's supposed to.
You're
going to
live a long time if you get through this Rona. Now, if you don't, is Matt Murphy hiring? Because I've got my resume tuned up.
You don't like to work, Spud. Let's stop pretending that you do.
Oh, I forgot that.
Yeah.
I don't even know why I have a resume.
I was going to say, you actually having to show up with any sort of regularity would be, you know, you'd be good for the first 3 days, and then on day four, you'd be like, "Oh, I had a tea time set for one. I wasn't thinking." No, you weren't thinking. That's what the problem is.
A resume is I'm about as likely to own a resume as I am a parachute. Those are two things that you can pretty much look through.
Expect to never need. Yeah, I can appreciate that.
I will never need a parachute. I mean, I guess if I got stuck up in a plane that was going down and they handed me one, I would take it. But, owning one, no, it's just better for renting.
Yeah, that is the sort of thing I think you would rent, because if it fails the first time, you have no use for it from then on. So tell me this. Yeah, that's what they say. What is it they say? If at first you don't succeed, parachuting is not for you. So,
Parachute for sale, used only once, small blood stain.
Oh, yeah. Yikes.
Sorry.
So,
into the songs.
Did you watch any of this event that took place yesterday? Did you see any of it? Did you hear the speech or any of that stuff?
It was on because I live with Peter. So it was on, and I noticed some of it. But I'll tell you this, I don't care if they're inaugurating John F. Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson, Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton, Obama, any of the Bushes. I don't like ceremonies. I never get anything out of ceremonies. They're all pomp and circumstance and no value. And I read his speech, and everything he wants to do is pretty much good, except you got to do it. It's easier to say, you know, when everything is said and done, there's
right.
a lot more said than done. And so, but I put on the Facebook site that I'm permitted to be a member in that's flooded with liberals. In fact, there's a large gap between whoever's the least liberal member of that site and me. And I said on there, "I'm rooting for Joe Biden to be the best president we ever had." Isn't that refreshing? And not one person has said to me, "You know, I didn't really think that way about Trump. I was rooting for him to be the worst president." It's like people who root against their team because they don't like the coach or the colors or whatever.
Right. Right.
Like I'm rooting against the Saints so Drew Brees will retire and Deshaun Watson will end up their quarterback. It's just stupid. Don't you want this country to be as good as it could possibly be? Whoever
you would think. Yeah, I mean, we're all on the plane, so we'd sort of like the captain to know what he's doing and to steer it well. I don't think that's an unreasonable thing. Now, I will say this. When Barack Obama took over, I said exactly that. I said, you know, I have high hopes, and I hope that everything goes swimmingly. This is, you know, I want nothing more than for this to be an immensely successful presidency that works very, very well for the United States of America. Took almost no time at all to find out that, you know, wasn't going to happen. Certainly within 6 months, we had a pretty good idea that, yeah, this was not in the cards. I felt that way about Trump. I was like, okay, we're not really sure what we're going to get. The guy's run an empire, but he hasn't really, you know, run a country, so we don't know if this is going to be great or not. And I think he did a pretty amazing job. And I don't mean a pretty amazing job for a guy with no experience. I mean, he did a pretty amazing job in the 4 years that he was there, despite having to fight, you know, everybody tooth and nail. I don't feel that way about Joe Biden and that, geez, you know, I hope this is great, because I've watched the man for 47 years. He's, you know, the only person more useless when it comes to politics than Joe Biden is his VP, Kamala Harris, who's damn near a joke. I look at these two and I think this is about the biggest waste of space you could possibly come up with. And before you think, well, now, hold on a second. He won the Democratic primary and he got, you know, the most votes of any president in the history of the United States. I would remind you that before South Carolina and before a lot of phone calls were made shoving others out of the way, Joe Biden couldn't do better than fourth in a primary. He could not do better than fourth. Kamala Harris never ran in a primary because she got out because she couldn't break 2% in the polling. Nobody's excited about this presidency, Spud. Even Dr. Jill Biden, who's thinking, oh, good God, I have to lead this guy around for the next 4 years and whisper in his ear and tell him where he is, you know? It's just sad.
Somebody suggested that Kamala Harris is rooting for Joe Biden to get edge his way through 2 years and 2 days of his term,
yeah,
and then resign or be forced to resign or get sick, whatever. I don't think she wants him to get sick. But, you know, that exactly 2 years and 2 days, then she can spend the rest of those 2 years minus 2 days and four, that's her goal.
Yeah, well, she would have to be pretty amazing to make people forget how terrible she is now. You know, the thing is, she has to get reelected. And, you know, you look at some of the stuff that's taken place, including, as I mentioned, the killing of the Keystone Pipeline and 11,000 jobs going away.
He had to answer for that today, and he dodged it like Adam Sandler. So it's not, you know, they know. It's just, you know, we had to make good on our promise, and Cruz was right. Your promise is going to cost a lot of people their jobs. Well, that's just, you know, what do they call that in war?
Yeah, collateral damage.
Collateral damage, that's the word.
Yeah.
Collateral damage, that's you're just collateral damage. But thank you for your service. You know, here's a home version of the game for you.
When you have that, I never understood the home version, by the way. That's one thing that always confused me when somebody was, you know, they lost and they got the home version. Oh, congratulations, here's a little reminder of the day that you were dumber than ever, that and you embarrassed yourself on national television. Here you go. You couldn't figure out that stupid puzzle on Wheel of Fortune, even though you had most of the letters and two of the vowels. You suck as a human being. Here, take this home version so you can go home and relive the experience again and again. What was that all about? Why did they think that was a good idea?
Have you seen the video of that poor kid that went to the University of Indiana? And he had all the letters up there, and he said, mythical hero Achilles.
Oh, he didn't know Achilles. Yeah, I have seen that one. Oh,
Achilles.
Painful. So sorry. Hey, hold on if you would. We got to take a break. We'll hurry back. It's Richard Dixon. It's Mark Spud Friedman. We are also talking about the big stupid question. Depressing songs, not necessarily, but they're about death and destruction. There are upbeat songs about death and destruction. We'll get some of those when we return. Stick around. Ladies and gentlemen,
where do I begin?
Andy Williams.
Tell the story of how great a love can be. The sweet love story that is older than the sea. The simple truth about the love she brings to me.
Story, of course, of where Love Story, which involved Ryan O'Neill and Ollie McGraw. Ali dying at the end of it. Oh, so tragic.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry, I should have mentioned that, yeah. I read the book. I saw the movie. And then I read the sequel. Spud, did you know there was a sequel to Love Story?
There'd be, unless there's reincarnation.
Well, it was called Oliver's Story, and it was it followed the Oliver character into another relationship, which ended up actually just breaking up, like no one died in that one. Because I would have thought, that's too cruel, really, to have the guy lose two women, just one right after another. At some point, the police are going to start going, we think this Oliver dude's a serial killer. Something funny is going on here. Is it? It's like Little Joe from Bonanza. Every time he dates a woman, she dies. What the hell's going on here?
They should have made her wear a red shirt.
That would have explained a lot. Anyway, you were saying?
Allie McGraw, to me, was very attractive back in those days.
She was indeed, yeah. She was in that movie. There was another film she popped up in called Goodbye Columbus.
I love that. And the song... Was the song David Gates?
I believe it was, yeah. No, yeah, you're thinking about
Columbus.
The good... Yeah.
Yeah.
I it had
that movie, too.
I'm trying to remember... I know Jack Klugman was in it, and I'm trying to remember who
played Ron Potemkin, the sort of dumbass boyfriend who went to Columbus?
Yeah. Was it Rex Reed? Richard Benjamin. It was Richard Benjamin, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember now.
Richard Benjamin.
Boy, this is sort of sad. I've only seen that movie once. Why in the world would I know that? True story. Hey, 545-9950 if you've got one. 844-455-9950. We'd like to know more about it. So the Portland Antifa destroyed Democratic headquarters last night. This was their way of celebrating Joe Biden's election. You know, I said this from the start. Antifa's not a big fan of the Democrats. They are just anti-whoever happens to be in power at the moment, and Democrats who were rushing to their defense and, you know, helping cover their bail and all of this stuff during these riots, I said, you guys are going to live to regret this. That's going to turn out not to be a good idea. And sure enough, you see how this pans out as Portland Antifa now destroys the Democratic headquarters.
Well, are they going to arrest people and get the video put 10,000 National Guard people around it tomorrow?
You think so? I'm guessing no. I'm going to go ahead and take a stab at this and say no, because if you're not anti-Trump, it doesn't matter. We don't have to worry about it. You know, you're no real threat. Even if you're tearing down, it's just stuff, Spud. It's just stuff. It's just property. It's no big deal.
But it's not the property we were in, because if you were in the Democratic headquarters at that time, you were scared as spitless as the congressmen and senators were in their property. You know, it's a when I get a hangnail, it's a tragedy. When you step in a manhole, that's comedy.
That's comedy. That's top quality comedy.
Comedy gold, Jerry.
Well, and I say that whole thing about bringing in the 20,000 troops into Washington D.C. It was largely based around the fact that these guys, you know, it was perfectly okay to see these things taking place as long as they were on the other side of the country. You know, it was okay if they were happening in Chicago. The minute it started happening in their backyard, then it was like, oh, let's get some troops in here. Hey, hold on. This is affecting me now. That now it's serious because it's happening to me. You know, like me and COVID. I'm like, I'm joking about it. Now I've got it. Okay, now it's serious.
That's exactly right. And I'm all for treating them all the same way. You know, back when George Wallace ran in 1968, he was the law and order candidate, not the kind with Kong Kong, but real law and order. And that turned out to be kind of a toxic phrase. Law and order became synonymous with segregation, which it didn't have any connection to that, except that when you're seeking law and order against certain people, they take it wrong. Like people who criticize George Soros are not anti-Semitic. You're not, just because, any more than people who criticize Timothy McVeigh are anti-Christian. You know, he just happens to be Jewish, and you can criticize him. If you criticize Obama, you're not a racist. And if you criticize Trump, you're not a racist. You can criticize somebody without having anything to do with race or religion or any of that other stuff, but people will jump on you right away trying to diminish your legitimate arguments, because they'll find something he is. Like, you say something, I don't like Joy Behar, I don't like what's the other girl on there?
There's not lots of girls on there.
A few.
Whoopi not Goldberg. Whoopi. I mean, yeah.
No. Anyway, say it's like criticizing some woman. It's like that coach for UT Chattanooga who criticized Stacey Abrams calling her fat. You know.
Yeah.
He lost his job.
Well, Stacey Abrams is fat.
He called her fat. If that's not free speech, I don't know what free speech is. And don't tell me it's a private employer because University of Tennessee, Chattanooga is run by the state of Tennessee.
He called her Fat Albert. That's what she, I mean, that was the real thing.
And she was like,
the university said, hey, yeah,
that's right. She was like, hey. Our minds went right to the same place there, Spud. There's something horribly wrong with us and we should be ashamed of ourselves.
Until I met you.
No, really? Oh, that's not
a model citizen. Then we got to be friends about 25 years ago,
yeah.
And my graph has gone downhill faster than Facebook when they kicked all those people off.
This is not what I have heard from people who have known you all that time. I have been told multiple times that you're having a bad effect on me. Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to agree to disagree on this one.
I don't think so. We'll instead take a quick...
SHG make the final call.
All right, good plan. We'll take a quick break. She hasn't known you all this time either. We will hurry back, and we will get some first news in here. More depressing. I mean, death and destruction songs, they don't have to be depressing, right? And I'm closing in on COVID testing, so woohoo! Good times all around. Richard Dixon, Talk995, Talk995.com.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway and more,
much more than this.
I did it my way.
I don't know.
I've had a
few. Is this really about death and devastation?
Again, he's reflecting on his death. He's on his deathbed. I did it my way.
I just think he's old. I don't think he's really at death's door or anything. I don't think that's... I'll tell you what. Let's grab some of these other calls on the Birmingham Broker phone line. Spud can wait for a minute while we talk to Tow Truck Rob. TT, what's up, man?
Long time no talk, sir.
It's been a while.
I understand that the question is very large and very uneducated, but first and foremost, I would like to wish you well and no harm from this this deadly virus, apparently, that is killing all these people. But in all seriousness, though, I do hope you do not have any seriousness going on with that. My mother-in-law has COVID pneumonia, and she's battling with it right now, but she also has MS, so that's why it's a little bit more serious.
Yeah.
But to get to the question... I don't think anybody said this, and if they have, I'd be surprised, but little known to a lot of people, Alfred Hitchcock released an album called Music to be Murdered By back in, I think, 58, I believe. If I'm not
okay, mistaken. Then. That sounds good.
And I thought that would be something to share with you. And also, I've started listening again daily. I wasn't really concerned too much. You know, we had President Trump, with his faults, he was still there. But now that we have Mr. Sleepy Joe, I'm kind of concerned, and now I'm making sure I get the proper information from the proper sources, which is Talk 99.5. So
you stay tuned, my friend. We will keep you up to speed on whatever there is to, you know.
Yeah, I really hope that your test comes back negative and nothing happens to you, Richard. I've been listening to you since as long as I can remember, way back to the Mason-Dixon days, and I want to keep listening. So,
beautiful. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Tow Truck Rob, haven't heard from him in quite some time. He was one of our early callers when we first got on the airwaves back in the day. Here is KC and Alabaster KC are on Talk 99.5. What's going on?
Nothing much, Richard. I'd like to say, though, the past few days have been pretty depressing and all this rain and gloomy stuff going on today, man. Your newfound positivity is uplifting.
Well, let's just hope that the positivity doesn't extend to the COVID test.
Okay, so 1970, working man's dead, dire wolf.
Dire wolf. The wolf came in. I got my cards. We sat down for a game. I love that song. I love that song.
That's the best studio album they've ever done. You know,
I love that. I also love American Beauty. The two, I can't choose between the two, but I will listen to them. Sometimes I'll just go to them on my iPod, and I will just hit shuffle and just kind of listen to them all together. It's good stuff, man. Very good stuff. Thank you, Casey. Appreciate it. 545-9950, 844-455-9950. Frankie is in Hoover. Frankie, you're on Talk 99.5.
Good morning. Good afternoon. I'm sorry. I don't know what day it is. I don't know what time it is.
All righty.
Yeah. Okay, I've got two from way, 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 way back. If you're not old like me, you wouldn't know these songs. Teen Angel and Leader of the Pack.
Teen Angel done by Mark Dinning. And Leader of the Pack was the Shangri-Las, I want to say?
I believe so.
I think that's right.
That was 60s music. And you mentioned something a while back about Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah.
You saw the car. You know, that scene in the movie was shot by some people from here in Birmingham, the Saces and the No-Toes. They shot that scene.
I did not know that. I had no idea.
Yes.
That movie is on Netflix right now, the Warren Beatty, Faye Dunaway version. But I got to tell you, I really rather prefer the version that came out recently with Woody Harrelson and Kevin Costner as the Rangers who were hired to track them down. I just thought it did a better job of showing, first off, how brutal they were. You know, I mean, didn't make them out to be, you know, anti-heroes or anything like that. Bonnie and Clyde were really pretty awful people. And getting to see these guys, you know, do what they did and stop them in their tracks as a great tale. I thought they told it very well. Anyway, thank you for the call, Frankie.
Thank you for
your kind words. Let's check in with Keith in Birmingham. Keith, you're on Talk 99.5. What is on your mind?
Good afternoon, sir. Hope you are not going to go down the path of the worsen COVID. We just came off 2 weeks of isolation / quarantine. My wife, myself, and my high school age daughter all had it. We all had different symptoms.
Mm.
And so my hope for you is that you're kind of on the better side, if you will.
Here's how bad your COVID was. When you contracted it, you had a great country run by a truly awesome man, and when you came out of it, you got this. So I'm sorry, that's just unfair, but there it is.
There's a great movie somewhere in there, movie plot for someone. My what's challenging for me is I have allergies anyway, and every, you know, two or three times a year, the seasons change, the heat comes on, the spring flowers, whatever, and I get some congestion. And that's what I had at the beginning of this and thought nothing of it. And it wasn't until 4 days later, my wife came home from work, and 4 hours later at 10 o'clock at night, she said, I feel terrible and I have a temperature. And she tested positive the next morning. My daughter said, I can't taste my food. I had none of that. So, the next time I get some sinus allergies, I'll be thinking to myself, okay, what's this? You know, do I have to go and get tested and wait in line for 2 hours or whatever? So, I think that's what's challenging, because it does treat so many different people in different ways.
Yeah.
But I am thankful that it's not that. My wife battled fever off and on for 9 days.
That was no fun for her.
But we're all superheroes now because we have the antibodies. You know,
there you go.
We're safe for a while. But I did have a request for you. I'm in a business club, and you came to speak to our business club several years ago. And for about 30 minutes, you talked about marketing. And your central case example was Arm & Hammer Arm and Hammer baking soda.
Ah, yes.
And do you remember this?
I do remember it well, yes.
Conversation. That was an excellent conversation and a very good study in how to reinvent yourself, which a lot of companies need to do now and faced with some challenges around COVID. But
true.
If you would just regale the rest of us with that example some afternoon, I think that would be extremely helpful and even more fun. It would be entertaining. That's my
delightful
request
wow.
today.
Thank you for remembering that. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. I you also told me privately when I asked a few questions of you about this is why I'm not on the music radio station. This is why I'm on talk radio. I thought that was also a very good explanation. I've parroted that to some other people in the past who said, why do we keep hearing the same songs on the radio? Well, you know, Richard Dixon told me about that one time. Let me tell you what he said.
Don't take anything I say seriously. You have a big stupid question answer, I'm guessing.
I do. It's Alter Bridge in Loving Memory. I don't know
in
if you know it, but...
Loving Memory. I do not,
memory.
But I'll go track it down just for you. Just
and
for
I
you.
Think that Weezer actually has a song called Death and Destruction. I think that might be on the list. I've never heard it, but I heard someone tell me that, so...
I like Weezer, so that sounds like it's worth listening to, too. I'll go check that one out, too.
Give us a report back.
Thank you, Keith.
Have a great rest of your day. Yes, sir.
I will do my level best. I appreciate it. Yeah, what he was talking about there was a... let's talk to Spud again. We left Spud on hold long enough. Spud, are you there?
Yeah, I'm enjoying the show, just like I do when I'm not on the radio.
That's right. It's like having a private little show on your phone. I got invited a lot, and I don't know why it stopped, and I'm not against it stopping, by the way, because I wasn't getting any money out of it or anything like that, but people would invite me to come talk about marketing because that's something that, if you're in broadcasting, you study. I studied a lot in my broadcasting school, and then I also have just picked up a lot as we go along here. And, 36 years of broadcasting, you tend to learn a thing or two. So I kind of developed a fairly stock, I'll say speech, more of a talk, because I don't use papers. I don't sit and read anything. I just stand up and talk about it, as I do for 3 hours a day on this show. And it has to do with the three cycles of advertising. It's amazing to me how many people who are even in advertising who don't know anything about this. And that's what he was talking about. That's what Keith was talking about, was my kind of stock speech on the three cycles of advertising and how, you have to constantly reinvent yourself if you're going to continue to sell your product, because at some point it just stagnates. Now, in many cases, it's decades, It's decades before you have to reinvent yourself. So don't think you have to change yourself every couple of weeks, because I know there are advertisers out there who are like, we better reinvent ourselves. No, you're fine. You're fine. You don't have to do anything right now. Just something to think about as time goes by. Anyway, was that yours? Did you pick the whole I did it my way thing?
Yeah, he's talking about his reflection as he gets to the end of his life. I don't know how close he was. Of course, he's dead now. The other possibility for that same song was Elvis, who did a good job not too long before his death.
Yeah, was it Paul Anka that wrote that song, I want to say?
I think he wrote the song. Sinatra did it, and then Elvis did a great job in the live version that's on my regular playlist. You know, it's hard for Elvis to do a bad version of anything.
It's true. And the funny thing is, toward the end of his life, Elvis really liked doing those songs much more than doing the rock and roll. He would get the rock and roll out of the way. At some point, he was playing Vegas later in life. He would do just a medley of a bunch of his hits. He'd knock out like six or eight of them in a row, and then he'd be like, there, that's taken care of. And then he would go on and he'd do more of the ballads and the Sinatra-type stuff, which he really loved doing later in life. And he did the rock and roll because people expected it of him.
You know, the Elvis trivia question is, he won 3 Grammys, all in this category, gospel. Never won a rock or a country Grammy. He won 3 in the gospel. But speaking of trivia questions, what is the catchphrase in the Dirty Harry movie Magnum Force?
magnum force. A man's got to know his limitations.
And that's me. So let me tell you about my most recent limitation. Then I want to save a good bit of room for the D block. Sears will explain that to you.
Thanks.
But I bought myself a personal space heater because Peter sets the thermostat on meat locker. And so I got to have a little personal heater. So I got it, and I plugged it in the wall, and after about 2 minutes, boom, everything in the room turned off.
Uh-oh.
So I figured, with my limited amount of knowledge, it's the breaker. So I went and reset the breaker, did it again, boom, you know.
Yep.
What's a man is a fool doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results? So I know I've overloaded the breaker, and I've got to start reducing the amperage out of the whole room. So I look around. I got a TV, a cable box, 3 printers, 2 computers, a landline, 3 lamps. That's no wonder. So I didn't know what to get rid of. We unplugged 2 of the printers and set the heater on low, which is not the desired setting, but it is good. And so I had the maintenance man, he had to be here today anyway, and I said, can I put a 20-amp fuse in there? Is that the right word? Instead of the 20-amp
breaker, basically.
Instead of the 15. Yeah. He said, that's likely to start a fire. I said, well, I can do it with a little less heat. I won't start a fire.
Let me ask you something. Can you not just watch porn on one computer? Do you have to have 2 computers, really? Is that necessary?
Peter, one has one.
Ah.
But I could watch on one, but it's good if you can watch porn. I have 2 screens, which is,
sure.
You know,
yeah.
They're both. I have porn on one and then listening to you on the other on the internet. It's an interesting juxtaposition sometimes.
I was going
to
say.
You use over the pictures.
I got a great
list of songs that fit the big stupid question. Some are funny, some are serious, some are ridiculous. But I want to cover one more thing. A guy got arrested for bringing a hockey stick and attacking a Capitol policeman with a hockey stick?
Yeah.
What do you bring a hockey stick to a protest for? Did he think he was going on Let's Make a Deal?
No one knows what the plan was with the hockey stick. And all I know is that, you know, it's perfectly okay when it happens on the ice at a Birmingham Bulls game. Apparently they don't accept the same thing, you know, when it comes to being at the Capitol. I don't know why.
Who is it? Gilles Bilodeau?
You
know, the guy that's the enforcer, he's got a good job. He goes beats the crap out of people. That's all he ever has to do.
It's a pretty good job.
You don't have to play hockey, doesn't shoot, doesn't defend.
Yeah.
He just goes beats up people that he doesn't like on the other team.
I like it. I want that job. Stick around, Spud. We got to take a break. We'll hurry back. Richard Dixon, Talk995, Talk995.com.
Well, I guess it was back in 63 when eating my cooking got the better of me, so I asked this little girl I was going with to be my wife. Well, she said she would, so I said I do. But I'd have said I wouldn't if I'd have just knew how saying I do was gonna screw up all of my life. Well, the first few years weren't all that bad. I'll never forget the good times we had, cause I'm reminded every month when I send her the child support. Well, it wasn't too long till the lust all died, and I'll admit I wasn't too surprised the day I come home and found my suitcase sitting out on the porch. Well, I tried to get in, she changed the lock. Then I found this note taped on the mailbox that said, goodbye, Turkey, my attorney will be in touch. So I decided right then and there, I was gonna do what's right, give her fair share. But brother, I didn't know her share was gonna be that much. She got the gold mine, I got the share. They split it right down the middle, and then they give her the better half. Well, it all sounds sort of funny, but it hurts too much to laugh. She got the gold mine, I got the share.
All right, all right, all right. Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5 Talk. 99.5.com, I guess that qualifies as a song about death and destruction. Death of a marriage, destruction of someone's bank account. You know how it works. Work Trucks is downtown 2324 3rd Avenue South, or as close as your computer, WorkTrucks with an XLLC.com. If you are looking for a top-quality pre-owned work truck, or just a work truck in general you think you need new, trust me, a pre-owned work truck might be significantly better for you. You'll save money We will put all those savings right to the bottom line, move your business forward, and you have a great dependable truck to get you from point A to point B going forward. Trust the Southeast number one pre-owned work truck dealer to find you the right size, shape, kind. I mean, everything has been through a 120-point inspection. It's all right there. Many of them 100-plus on the lot right now at work trucks, and if they don't have what you're looking for, that seems unlikely, but if they don't have what you're looking for, they'll find one for you because that's what they do. Work Trucks with an X, LLC.com, 2324 3rd Avenue South, where they are all about trucks. So, Mark Spud Friedman hanging out with us. He's got a few songs aside from that one that have to do with death and disaster. What do you got, Spudley?
All right, give me about 10 to 15 seconds on each of these. The theme from MASH.
Ah, Suicide is Painless, yes. Written by a 17-year-old son of Robert Altman, I believe, yeah. It's kind of a depressing song, really.
Yeah.
When you hear the lyrics.
Unusual juxtaposition in a funny movie.
Yeah, very much so.
All right, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Curtis Lowe.
No one
came to his funeral. They just chunked him in the clay.
Chunked him in the clay. That's going to be my story as well. I can see it coming. It's going to be like nobody showed up. And weeks later, people will be like, oh, he died? When? I thought he'd been dead for a long time.
Fire by Arthur Brown. You remember that one?
Fire. Got to talk to Carl Palmer, who was a member of the crazy world of Arthur Brown back in the day. And asked him specifically about that, and he was like, oh, yeah, Arthur Brown was crazy. I mean, that's why it was called The Crazy World of Arthur Brown. I said, what's he doing now? He said, I don't know. He's probably at home polishing up his fire helmet. And I said, oh, is that what the kids are calling it nowadays? Anyway.
Oh, now, hey. here's the theme song of New Orleans, Led Zeppelin, When the Levee Breaks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if it keeps on raining. You know, that actually is an old blues song that dates back to the 20s that Zeppelin ripped off. And they did, unlike a lot of their songs, they didn't change it that much. You can find a 1924 version of it, you know, that was played by a female on a guitar, and she's singing it, and it sounds pretty much exactly like the Zeppelin version.
You could introduce a lot of songs with, this is a song Led Zeppelin ripped off.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Burning Down the House, Talking Heads.
Oh, I love that song.
That'd be
I love that song. I love most of the Talking Heads catalog, to be honest with you. They're just quirky enough for me.
I'll give you a lyric. Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive.
Ah, Big John.
Big Bad John.
Yeah.
The Scorpions, Rock You Like a Hurricane.
Why is that bad?
It's a hurricane. It's a disaster.
No, I think it's a simile. It's or a metaphor. Oh. It's one of
their
those.
Their rock
two
is
sure.
So powerful it will blow you like a hurricane. I think that's a disaster.
I think it's a song about a woman, and maybe she's going to blow you like a hurricane. But that's neither.
Hey,
here,
now,
nor
okay, here we go. Elton John's Second Candle in the Wind. Maybe the first one too.
Both of them, actually. I mean, English Rose and Candle in the Wind, they're both about dead pretty blonde girls. So, yeah, that's death and disaster for sure.
Honey by Bobby Goldsboro.
And honey, I miss you.
Now you're going to make me start crying, Richard.
Really?
No. Hey Joe by Jimi Hendrix, The Leaves Before Them. I'm going down to shoot my old lady.
Yeah.
Messing around with another man.
Well, that just makes sense, right? You find out your woman is messing around with another man. Yeah, you don't talk it out with her. You don't just leave her. You don't take her stuff, throw it on the lawn. You shoot her. That's the obvious solution. This is really the only solution. That's it.
Only the good die young, Billy Joel.
I don't think there's really anyone dying involved in that. I think it basically is him trying to
die.
Yeah, no, a girl is. He's trying to talk a girl into fornication, I believe.
Everything leads back you to that. Now,
her
how
name
about
is
in
Virginia.
The year 2525?
Yeah, that's depressing because how long have Democrats been in charge by then? I mean, that's forever, really.
I think Kamala Harris's great granddaughter will be elected president in 2524 and begin serving in 2525. A real sad one to me that's death. That a lot of people, if you don't listen to lyrics, don't know that, and it reminds me of Sarah all the time, is Fire and Rain.
Yeah. Oh, that's strong, man. That's a strong one. Yeah. Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. It really was a case of a James Taylor. He had been in a mental institution. He came out and found out that his some had said it was his wife. It was actually a friend of his who had committed suicide while he was in there, and he wasn't getting news from the outside world, and he came out and found out that that had taken place. And he did sit down and write that song pretty much right then.
I got that same phone call, not from while I was in a mental institution, but that same phone call, and it shakes you to the core that you
indeed
it's unbearable. How about Antoine Dotson? You know who that is?
I know who Antoine Dotson is. Uh huh.
That's a song
they're raping everybody.
A disaster.
Hide your wife.
Hide
your kids.
Hide your husbands too, because they're raping everybody out there.
Yeah, man. Good stuff. That's it, Spud. Got to let you go, man. We appreciate
you. I'll again next week.
Hey, who knows? I may be calling.
Hey,
maybe calling for you
tomorrow.
Soon. Yeah.
Give me a text when you find out.
Yeah, I'll let you know. I won't find out until Sunday. It takes 48 hours to get the answer, so I may have something by late Saturday, but probably Sunday. Hey, Leland Live up next. Richard Dixon back tomorrow at noon. Bye bye now.